Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Narada Uvacha. Ityukta Loka Guruna. Tam pranamya devau kasa nyavartanta gato dvega mini recha suram hatam ityukta loka guruna tam pranamya devau kasa Nyavartanta gato dvega mini recha saram hatam Sri Narada Uvacha. The great saint Narada Muni said, Iti thus uktaha addressed Loka Guruna, by the supreme spiritual master of everyone. Tam, unto him, pranamya, offering obeisances. Devaukasaha, all the demigods. Nyavartanta, returned. Gata udvegaha, relieved of all anxieties. Menire, they considered. Cha, also. Asuram, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Hatam, killed. Translation, the great saint Narada Muni continued. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of everyone, thus reassured all the demigods living in the heavenly planets, they offered their respectful obeisances unto him and returned, confident that the demon Hiranyakashipu was now practically dead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The less intelligent men were always busy worshipping the demigods. There's persons less intelligent than the less intelligent too. Should note that when the demigods are harassed by the demons, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief. Since the demigods resort to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why should the worshippers of the demigods not approach the Supreme Lord for whatever benefits they derive? Srimad Bhagavatam 2:3:10 says, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udharadhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Translation. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Whether one is a Karmagyani or Yogi, if one wants a particular benediction fulfilled, even if it be material, one should approach the Supreme Lord and pray to him, for then it will be fulfilled. There is no need to approach any demigod separately for fulfillment of any desire. A quiz question. Wake everybody up. Sri Narada Uvacha. Narada is speaking. Who is the person who's listening to Narada speaking? Raise your hand if you know. Yes? You forgot. You're not sure. To Brahma? Let's try another one. Who is Narada speaking to? Jai Jagannath. Yudhishthira Maharaj. What's the relationship? Gonna wake you all up now. What's the relationship between Narada Muni and the Pandavas? Mahabharat buffs. Or Srimad Bhagavatam. From time to time, when they have a big question, the Pandavas ask Narada because he's the spiritual master.
He serves in that capacity. Vyasadeva also
was accessed by the Pandavas from time to time. But like, you know, the very beginning of this canto, which is the continuation of this discussion, there was a question raised by Yudhisthira to Narada. What was that question? Got you all in anxiety now. What was the question? Oh, Gunda, what was the question? It had to do with chanting. So I'm asking you. Hint, Shishupal. Shishupal had disqualifications. Yes? You know who Shishupal is? You don't know? Yes, you do. Of the demons that Jai and Vijay became, the last two were Dantavakra and Shishupal. So, how did Shishupal die? The Sudarshan Chakra of Krishna. What was the circumstance? Yes. I couldn't hear you. You'd speak too softly. Why 100 times? Okay. What was the last part that everyone laughed about? Before I kill him. Yeah. Well, not exactly. The close, but yes. Shishupal was such a nasty guy. Nasty, nasty. And he got liberation. You all saw it. After the talking part of his body was separated from the rest of his body, his soul went up in the air, right in the assembly, and merged into the body of Krishna. He got Sayujamukti. And he was bad. And so many great personalities, they strive for liberation. Lifetimes they don't get this bad guy. Got liberation. How's that possible? Mukunda, how's it possible? He's chanting the holy name. In derision. That's a type of namabhas. But because the holy name, even namabhas, it's so powerful, one can achieve liberation. What to speak of those who chant without offense? Himanshu.
But I thought the reason why Shishupal attains liberation is that verse that Rupa Goswami quotes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that by his hate, he was...
By his what?
By his hate, his anger towards Krishna.
He was. It was the holy name.
Very fixed.
Huh?
I think that was maybe that was Kamsa. Isn't there an example of someone who was so he despised Krishna, so he was completely focused on Krishna, absorbed in thinking of Krishna?
Yeah, he was absorbed. He was chanting the holy name. That's the focus. Mm. However you do it, stand on your head, you know, but chant the holy name. In scorn, in hate, in this or that. Yes, his mind was fixed upon Krishna. And he was chanting Krishna's name. The way in which his mind was fixed upon Krishna was, you know, not bhakti. It was abhakta. Okay, so that was just to get everybody awake. Now the verse for this morning. Narada is speaking to Yudhisthira about what the demigods did after hearing this voice that was coming from all directions. Or they were offering respects in all directions, and then he heard the voice. That's probably a better way to say it. And they then returned. Now, I don't recall from the earlier sections, does anybody know where they went to offer these prayers? And then they heard this voice? And they went back to their abodes. Where was the place where they went? Does it say? But where were they offering those prayers in all directions? Did they go somewhere? Because they went back. Doesn't say where they went to go back from. Okay. So they went back from somewhere where they were offering prayers. And they were confident. Maini re cha asaram hatam. Maini Ray, they considered that Kamsa was as good as dead. Why? Because the Lord said it. And whatever the Lord says happens. His will prevails over even anything. Even Hiranyakashipu or anyone or anything. So the point that Prabhupada is making in the purport is that the demigods, they're dependent upon the Supreme Lord to fulfill their desires. So wouldn't it be sensible to go to the Supreme Lord to fulfill one's desires instead of to the demigods to fulfill one's desires? Because, so the logic is pretty clear. They go to the Supreme Lord to fulfill their desires. Why not go to the Supreme Lord to fulfill the worshipper's desires? And to support that, this well-known verse, whether one has, like the way Prabhupada has translated, whether one desires everything or nothing, akama sarva kamova, moksha kama. Now he's translated this moksha kama as desire to merge into the existence of the Lord. Just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya complained to Lord Chaitanya that Vyasadeva made a mistake. Now Vyasadeva is beyond the defects of the conditioned souls. Our particular Vyasadeva is Narayana himself. Others, it's a post where someone occupies the post and they perform the function as empowered by the Supreme Lord to do so. So in any case, Vyasadeva is not within the realm of defects. So Lord Chaitanya corrected him. But the complaint, the mistake, this is like an editing issue. He shouldn't have used the word one receives liberation or what's the verse? Yeah, but the last line. Mukti pade swadhaya bhak. It's a verse spoken by Lord Brahma in the 10th canto, chapter 14, where Lord Brahma is offering prayers to Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. There he was, face to face with him, saying that when calamity comes, I know I'm going to get a big reaction for stealing the calves and cowherd boys and hiding them from you. I'm a kidnapper. And so I'm going to get a big reaction. But that's, I'll accept the reaction. I don't pray to you for, you know, relieve me from this reaction. Let me out of prison. I have only one desire, that my mind will remain fixed on your lotus feet in service to you. Because one who does so, mukti pade svadhaya bhak, that the Supreme Lord, who is the giver of liberation, mukti pade svadhaya bhak, he'll inherit the property. So inherit the property of the Supreme Lord means you go back to Godhead. You reside with him in the spiritual world. So he said, this word mukti, sarvabhuma, the word mukti, he used the wrong word. Bhakti pade svadhaya bhak. He gives bhakti. Because when people think of this word mukti, they just naturally think of this one, merging. And for a devotee, that's abominable. Why is it abominable? No devotional service? It's abominable. Abominable. Therefore, better any other situation. Go to hell and serve Krishna. Go, you know, go somewhere and serve Krishna. Upper planets, middle planets, lower planets, birth after birth. Simply keep me engaged in your devotional service. But no devotional service? Yikes. Abominable. So, Lord Chaitanya said, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, you used to be a fanatic for liberation. Now you despise even hearing the word. You become such a devotee. But it's not a mistake, because the personality of Godhead is the only one who can give liberation. And the fruit of bhakti is included. Liberation is included, excuse me, in your verse. So it's not wrong. He's right. He's the real status of liberation is these other kinds. What are the other kinds? Besides merging with the existence of the Supreme. Quiz question. Keep you all awake. Let me see if there's somebody else that knows. Living on the same planet as the Lord. Salokya. Same form, Sarupya. Let's get somebody else to answer the other two. Yeah. What? Opulence, Sharsti. Huh? No, no. There's one more. Himanshu, what's the one more?
Yeah.
Which one?
Always being with the Lord.
Like always?
Being with the Lord?
Being with the Lord. Intimate association with the Lord. Samipya. So those are Vaishnava liberations. Here's another quiz question. I'm really on a roll this morning. It is said that if offered those kinds of liberations, the devotees say no. Could somebody explain that? Why would the devotees say no if offered intimate association with the Lord, etc., etc.?
So a person interested in these kind of liberations is still interested in his own satisfaction or pleasure.
There's something about how you speak. I just can't follow what you're saying. Try it again. It's one of these things.
These forms of liberation, except one, are rejected by the devotees because they're not directed towards the pleasure of Krishna.
They're not for the pleasure of Krishna.
Right. The individual is interested in his
own. It's a desire for oneself, and so the devotee doesn't want something this to fulfill the desire for oneself.
Right.
Okay.
Except I think samipya the devotees don't reject.
Okay. So it's not like, no, I don't want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Thank you. I don't want to accept opulences from you which I can use in your service. Thank you.
Not able to follow.
Oh, good. Makes two of us. So I'm repeating back to you what you said. It's for selfish purposes one says no. But if Krishna wants, one says yes. Okay. Okay, so there are these three things: akama, sarvakama, moksha kama, udara diti vrena. So the operative principle, the message of the Bhagavatam, just like our discussion yesterday evening, avideya, the process, is devotional service. Or in this case, the adjective is there, tivra. Tivra, really strong, very great determination, intense or enthusiastic or powerful devotional service, tivra bhakti. Because that tivra bhakti, while it may result in the fruits of attaining something or other, liberation or material prosperity or whatever that somebody wants, one of those things, that may come, but the desire to be the enjoyer of those things is eradicated by the power of bhakti, specifically tivra bhakti. What's an example of that? Dhruva Maharaj, right? You were going to say Dhruva? He wasn't going to say anything. Okay. You look like you were getting ready. So, Dhruva. Dhruva is a classic example of going from serving Krishna, serving Lord Vishnu, in this case, serving Lord Vishnu with material motivation. Powerful material motivation. Powerful. He's like, you know, a get-back attitude, which is not nice, not how you approach Lord Vishnu. And so he had to get free of that, although he said to Narada, I can't get free of that. I'm a Kshatriya, and I've been insulted, and I want to get back. I can't follow your mode of goodness instruction. I'm Kshatriya. I want to get back. So, materially motivated devotional service. And he got on the other side of that altogether. He got the kingdom. But he had lost the desire to be the enjoyer of that kingdom, and the whole get-back mentality. It was gone. Completely gone. When he went back after, you know, achieving perfection, then Lord Vishnu left, and he went back to the palace because the instruction given to him by the Supreme Lord was go back and rule for 60,000 years. And it was, you know, he was crying, little boy, I've got to rule for 60,000 years. Yes? So 60,000 years. And when he went back, imagine what his stepmother, how she felt, and his father felt. But he wasn't holding anything. He was before, he was, I'm going to get both of them. And it was gone. How did that happen? Tivra bhakti, that's how it happened. Classic example. Go from mixed devotion to pure devotion. Real fast. It was pretty intense. Tivra bhakti. Extraordinary. But that's the operative principle in the verse. And, you know, the demigods, well, they weren't exactly in the Tivra bhakti position. They were like, it's, you know, it's how one becomes a demigod. They're devotees. And they have a desire to be a controller. Put the two together and maybe you'll become a demigod. You know, and that's not great fortune. Ah, Haribol, become a demigod. Not just go to the heavenly planets, but rule one of them. You get lots of power. But then, you know, birth again and all the other negative, undesirable things that take place wherever there's a body and a mind and other bodies and other minds and, you know, stuff. Of course, there's the opportunity to serve Krishna. That's very nice. And then when there's difficulty, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord. That's very nice. So now the message to us is, well, it's two. One, why not be intelligent? Udhara. Dhi. That syllable. Dhi. Like buddhi. Dhi means intelligence. And udhara is broad intelligence or, yeah, strong intelligence. It's a sign of intelligence. Even if you have material desire. Having material desire isn't, you know, a great sign of intelligence. But if one takes shelter of the Supreme Lord with Tivra Bhakti, or you want liberation, you know, that we're not advised. Take up devotional service so you can merge with the Supreme Lord. Not what you're, but supposing somebody has that, I want to merge with the Supreme Lord. Tivra Bhakti. Because that desire will be relieved to become one with the Supreme Lord. Of course, you know, that bhakti means two or three. There's the servitor, the served, and the process of service or the relationship of service and master. So it's not just one, but even if one has this mistaken idea, people have a mistaken idea sometimes, if you've noticed. And one of the mistaken ideas is, I'll take this to get that. I'll take up devotional service in order to become one with the Supreme. Just something anecdotal. The first time I was involved in kirtan, well, second time, it's in the course of my college days, there was a person, I'll leave his name unmentioned, but he was traveling around colleges doing kirtan. This is, you know, back in 1970, 69 and 70, and he was an impersonalist. There's still people doing it, and they're impersonalists, and they're chanting Hare Krishna. They don't really so much know what they're doing, generally, but some of them do. And this particular fellow, he knew what he was doing. He was enticing young people to chant Hare Krishna so you could become God. But he wasn't like explicit about it. You become one with the Supreme. That was his subtle message. Chant Hare Krishna to become one with the Supreme. So impersonalists can chant Hare Krishna too. And some of them do. And even contemporary people, without naming the names, some of them do. And innocent people sit in the audience getting what? Milk touched by the lips of a serpent, isn't it? It's not good for the health. There's a little label on that kirtan that says, this may be hazardous to your health. The Surgeon General says, you may die. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave similar warnings to not, it's like drinking poison to hear Mayavad philosophy or to hear, anyway, still it's very powerful. Still it's very powerful. It's capable of delivering one. One of the verses that we, that was referenced to yesterday evening, Canto 11, Chapter 20, text number, 27? 33? The Supreme Lord can easily, if the devotee wants to go to heaven, he can easily, sure, no problem. And, you know, merge with it, you know, no problem. I gave it to Shishupal, why not you? So sure. So, but you know, the coming to the stage of pure devotion, we have to want that. Anyway, that's the lesson that we're being given here. And even if one doesn't want that, chant anyway, or serve anyway, or engage in Krishna service anyway, it's very, very powerful. That's the Bhagavatam's message. So, just these two things, and then I'm done. The demigods, they have desires. They worship the Supreme Lord. They want protection from danger. Serve the Supreme Lord. He'll protect. And they were confident. That's exactly what the verse, the way it is translated. They went back to their respective heavenly planets, confident that the demon Hiranyakashipu was now practically dead. So, gata udvega, relieved of all anxieties, and meni re chasaram hatam. They considered the demon was killed. Although it hadn't happened yet. Time was separating. But it was as good as done. Because the Supreme Lord gave his promise to them. Just made a statement. Very soon I'm going to finish this fellow. But I'm going to wait until he torments Prahlad and then finish him. He knew the whole program. Philosophical question. Does this mean when the Supreme Lord knows something that's going to happen before it happens, that really free will isn't operative? It's not true. If he already knows things before they happen, how's their free will? It's already going to happen. They're just going along for the ride. A conveyor belt and it moves and they're just like standing on the conveyor belt and things happen because they're destined to happen. Is there free will or not? Who would like to answer that question? You'd like to answer the question? You want to answer the question? How so?
It's
This is a different kind of class this morning. I don't know what happened.
Well, just because the Supreme Lord knows something is going, just because God knows something will happen, knows somebody will choose this over that, it still doesn't affect that individual soul to choose this particular thing or that thing. It's an independent, almost kind of a thing.
Okay.
The Lord knows, He knows what you're going to choose, but you still have the free will to choose it.
Very good. Would you like to add something, Bach Luke? Go ahead.
We have minute independence. So we're on the conveyor belt and we can choose to stand like this or like this. We can choose to meditate on the Lord. We can choose to meditate on the body. So there's some independence.
Okay.
One thing maybe I heard years ago is that...
Here's another one I have trouble hearing.
probably don't need a mic. Unless we had some type of free will, and my understanding is that there's no question of loving relationships, we'll be a bunch of robots loving Krishna, and should Krishna be surrounded by robots.
So there is free will... Because without it, there isn't the loving relationships. That's your position. Okay. Okay, so any discussion? Just general. Yes. I can understand him very easily. You can be the translator next time, Himanshu asked a question.
It seems that it would be easy to have confidence when the Supreme Lord himself is coming as an Akashvani. You know, I'm having some trouble and then I just hear a sky voice. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. And I'm confident. Similarly, Mukunda died. He got confidence because he heard directly from the Lord that you will see me. But in our lives of sadhakas, it's much more difficult to gain that confidence, although we're hearing the same vibration, but coming through Krishna's devotees. We have a lot more challenging time gaining that confidence, although the sound vibration is essentially the same.
Yeah.
So what is the problem here?
We're covered. Really covered, big time covered. Let's do it, let's flip it around. Shishupal was directly in front of Krishna. He had the same opportunity. But he was really big time covered. Etc. Kamsa. He could have been, oh, I was inimical towards you, but now I understand you're the personality of Godhead. Look what you just did. You just like smashed and bashed Kovalyapita and you broke the bow and you're God. I surrender unto you. So the opportunity doesn't necessitate understanding and acceptance. And conversely, although one may not hear the Akashvani, hear the sound of the Supreme Lord from the sky or hear directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That sound vibration is no different for us than it is for them. For example, something that Prabhupada would speak many times was exactly this point. People will sometimes say, Prabhupada would say, oh, Arjuna was so fortunate to hear directly from Krishna, but that will never happen to me, so I'll never become perfect because I'll never hear directly from Krishna. And to that, the refutation is, hearing from one who speaks the message of Krishna is hearing Krishna. That's the mystery of disciplic succession. but it's Krishna speaking through the person. Now, if one consciousness is high, one will understand that. If one consciousness is low, one will not understand that, nor if Krishna says it directly, will one understand it. So why is it? Because we're covered. Our consciousness is covered. Our faith is weak. You know, we're in Maya. Now the power of Krishna is to overcome Maya, but we're clinging. That's the problem. We're clinging to sense gratification. We're clinging to the expectation of happiness when the senses meet the sense objects, and then it's going to be woo-woo time. I'm going to have a nice time. And we're clinging to that notion. We're not ready to let go of that notion. And so when we hear it, doesn't, not the same as when Mukunda Datta hears or when the demigods hear. I'm thinking of this really nice example, contemporary example. When Janadivas was here, did he tell any Nisringadev stories? No? He spent some time in New Jersey because they had requested him to do so. And he gave some seminars, and one of the seminars, I was told, was he likes this, telling Nisringadev, our deity in Mayapur. So one of them that I've heard at least 6 or 7 times is, maybe you've seen in photos or in person, the Ugra Nisringa form has these big red eyes. And they're looking at you and you go, whoa. So the Pujari thought, gee, that might scare some people. So he made an arrangement, and the red eyes were replaced with something, green eyes or something. And if you picture in your mind that little area where the deity is, there's only one door. It's like a little small space. So the pujari was in, dressing the deity, and he heard this voice. It said, return my eyes. Akashvani, right? And he said, maybe I left the door open. The door wasn't open. It was locked from the inside. So he went on and continued his worship, and it happened again the next morning. When he was worshiping the deity, he turned my eyes. He freaked out. He went to Janadivas and said, this is what happened. And Janadivas said, well, didn't you just change the red eyes to green eyes? He wants the red eyes back, so he's just telling you to put the red eyes back. And many other such things. You know, that this is modern. This is like, you know, one of the Prabhus, like one of us kind of thing. But, you know, a very dedicated brahmachari pujari, not like, you know, Mahabhagavata Vaishnav. But the Supreme Lord can speak to you. And he can speak this way, or he can speak that way, or he can speak that way. And they're the same, because he's absolute. One doesn't have that faith, won't understand anyways. Which whether it's this, that, or the other way. Any other comments or questions? Yes. I'm going to call on people that don't... No, I'm going to call on people that don't normally raise their hand. Okay. Okay.
Hi, Krishna. I have a question. One of the points you brought up about us trying
about
to...
what?
Us trying to be the enjoyer.
Us trying to be the enjoyers?
Yeah. It's like... It seems like... If we say to people, like, we're not the enjoyers, then most materialists would be like, well, why do we live if we're not going to enjoy anything, if there's no happiness? But the enjoyer is, like, a specific title. It's different than just, like, being happy.
Yes, it is different.
I just wonder if you could...
You want to hear what the difference is? Yeah. That's what your question is? Okay, we're part... Why is that... Wanting to be the enjoyer propensity there. Answer. We're part and parcel of the Supreme, who is Anandamayo Vyasat. He's full of bliss. And we're his part and parcel. It's our nature to be blissful. It's our nature to be blissful. We want to be happy because it's our nature to be blissful. So there's not something wrong and wanting to be in harmony with our nature. So that's not the problem. The problem is misdirected, wanting to be the independent enjoyer. So the implication is kind of like a default statement, wanting to be the enjoyer. Means, the material enjoyer, means separately from Krishna enjoyer. It's not wanting to be happy. We're supposed to go around, you know, sour-faced, and then you're like, you got Krishna consciousness right because you're going around mopey and, well, then maybe not even sad, just like, you know, a zombie or something. But the standard of happiness for a devotee is Krishna's happiness. It's why, for example, kirtan is so nice. Now, of course, there's a mix. People like to dance. One of my godbrothers commented, it seems that in almost every congregation there's an exhibitionist. Somebody that likes to just, like, you know, draw attention to himself or herself and, you know, do something that's, you know, not really for Krishna's pleasure, but it's, you know, drawing attention to themselves. But aside from that, even a small child, when kirtan happens, that small child starts to dance. It just happens. Because that the transcendental picture, if we could take, just strip away all of the material yucky stuff, that the transcendental event is Krishna is being pleased. I mean, really, when we're having kirtan before the deity, it's for the pleasure of the deity. Now, our happiness is Krishna. That's the real happiness. The real happiness is being situated in Krishna's happiness. That's love, the happiness of the beloved. That's where our real happiness is, and that's where our real nature is to be found. So the implicit, not explicitly stated message of seeking, trying to be happy, or seeking happiness in the material world is independent happiness as opposed to the other kind. The natural happiness of the soul. That help? Okay.
So you were talking about patience the other day.
Talk about?
Patience.
Patience. Okay.
And you were mentioning an example of life or waiting for someone. You're like, where are they? But it's only been like 3 seconds passed. And so.
Can you follow what he's saying?
The other day, he was speaking about patience.
Yeah.
And you gave us an example. Someone was at the airport waiting for someone to pick them up.
Okay.
And what happened? Maybe that's an accident.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
My question is, how not to get discouraged in Krishna consciousness, because a lot of people...
How to not get discouraged?
Discouraged because sometimes...
Take shelter of Krishna.
Hmm?
Take shelter of Krishna. That's how to not get discouraged. Circumstances will be like this, and circumstances, you know, one can get materially encouraged or materially discouraged, and there's another position, transcendental, shelter of Krishna position. And then the circumstance can be this, that, or, you know, in between, or mix. And the message of the Bhagavatam is where ahaitoki aprathiyata yayatma supraseedati, where there's not some material circumstance that causes, nor is there a material circumstance that can stop. Either end, start or stop, it's not material or material. Then there's the position of satisfaction. So that's the transcendental position. Not caused by material circumstance or impeded by material circumstance. Okay. Thanks, Luca.
In regards to that,
if you see
someone else get discouraged, or are getting discouraged and they don't want to associate with devotees, and you were mentioning a point the other day of some people just have to learn the hard way. So if there's nothing you could do for someone, you can
always do something for someone. You can always pray.
Right.
You can give them prasadam. You can always do that. Have a kirtan, in offering the holy name and all of that unto them, like that. There's always something. You may have to do it from a distance because they want to be distant. But, the well-wishing of a Vaishnava goes to that person who is on the receiving end of the well-wishing. Krishna is in their heart. And it works like that. Krishna is very kind. Fortunately for us. He's very kind. And he's in everyone's heart. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.